This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's Obehave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your Obehave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the Obehave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Now, gonna just say it, Socrates, just move over. Sit and stay, Albert Camus. Hey, you too, Confucius. You know, our special guest is about to unleash a big revelation. Dogs, yeah, dogs are natural and wonderful philosophers. Now, we can learn a lot from our dogs if we just stop yapping and start paying attention to them. So, please welcome to our show the author of a new must-get book. It is called The Word of Dog. Please welcome Professor Mark Rollins. Welcome, welcome, Professor Mark.
Thank you, Arden, and thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Hey, Pet Pals. It turns out that Mark is the chair. I mean, that's another word of saying top dog of the philosophy department at the University of Miami in Florida. He's also a lifelong advocate and supporter of dogs. We're going to find out how dogs are natural philosophers. We're going to take a quick break, so sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. Obehave will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Obehave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the Obehave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our special guest is Professor Mark Rollins. Check him out. He's at the University of Miami in Florida. He has very, very, very strong typing fingers. He's written almost 24 books. And his latest book, it is called The Word of Dog, What Our Canine Companions Can Teach Us About Living a Good Life. And I hope, Professor Mark, that you're going to get a little inspiration credit to your German Shepherd, Shadow.
Yeah, no, Shadow is the one who got me thinking about the stuff which eventually turned into this book. It all started really on our daily walks. There's a canal that runs behind my house, and we go out there every day, and lined up along the bank in the mornings would be iguanas of various types, lined up at fairly regular intervals, and Shadow will charge off for hundreds of yards up the canal. The iguanas peel off into the water, swim to the other side, and then stay over on the far bank for the rest of the day. But then nighttime is apparently a time when iguanas forget things, because the next morning they'll be back on our side, lined up, ready for the hole.
So you're saying that iguanas have short-term amnesia?
Short-term amnesia or short-term memory, I'm not sure which.
I do sense from your book, you have a little soft spot for these green iguanas, because you've named a few. Give people some of the names that you've named, because you've seen these guys and you've got some clever names for them.
Well, yeah, there was Cocky, who was always the last. He was very, very confident, always the last to jump in.
He's probably going, na, 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 na,
pretty much,
Shadow.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. And then there was Bolt, who was named because unfortunately he had a crossbow bolt sticking out of his ribs. Didn't seem to bother.
There's your British humor coming out. Okay, keep going.
But my favorite was Big Poppy. He was huge. You know, he was 5 to 6 feet long. I thought he was a gator when I first saw him out of the corner of my eye, you know, gave me quite a fright. But yeah, I did come to think of them as our iguanas, you know, so naming them was a natural extension of this.
Well, your book is called The Word of Dog, and I'm a big Mark Twain fan, and I know he's been quoted as saying the dog is a gentleman. I hope to go to his heaven and not man's. I want to ask you, you quote in your book, you quote the Greek philosopher Socrates, you quote Albert Camus, you talk about a lot, and I'm like, oh my gosh, my brain is hurting, but I read your book, but what is it about dogs? And specifically your German Shepherd, Shadow, that did inspire you to take a pause, not a pause, and say, you know what? They're natural philosophers. What do you mean by that?
Well, on the canal, when Shadow was doing his daily trick of exiling the iguanas, it struck me after a while, because, you know, wheels turn slowly sometimes. But after a few years of doing this, it struck me that, well, this is a lot like the myth of Sisyphus. So Sisyphus was a mortal.
There it is. I said the wrong word. I was doing a sexually transmitted disease, syphilis, but it is correct to pronounce what?
yeah, Sisyphus. Syphilis, that would have been a different story and a different moral, I expect. So Sisyphus, I'm going to be getting it wrong now, saying the wrong word.
Damn that, Arden. Yeah.
So Sisyphus, a mortal, he offended the gods in some way, and they punished him by making him roll a large rock up a hill for forever. When the rock gets to the top, he gets to the top. The rock rolls back down, he starts all over again. So it struck me that this activity of Shadow was very much like Sisyphus. No matter how many times he exiles the iguanas to the other side, the very next morning they're back again, and he has to do the same thing all. Now, interestingly, Sisyphus, when he's brought up, is brought up as a sort of the epitome of a meaningless existence, just repetitive activity that achieves
right.
Nothing, aims only at its own continuation. But it struck me, and this was the intuition that me to write the book, I think ultimately this was the best part of Shadow's day. This was the most meaningful part of Shadow's day.
Yeah.
So the idea was, well, if Shadow can find meaning in this, then he must in some sense have solved the challenge of Sisyphus. Even though he had no idea that such a challenge existed, because he is, of course, a dog. And so I became obsessed with how he managed to do this. Well, what's the difference between Shadow and us, such that he could find meaning in this activity, whereas for us it would be the epitome of a meaningless life?
Well, you also talked about when your boys were younger, you would say to Shadow, "Hey, Shadow, time to pick up my son at school." And he wasn't going to a dog park. He wasn't getting one of those nice little frosty dog things at Starbucks. He would tell us about that because it was just to go pick up your son.
Yeah.
There was no Benny really for Shadow other than what? So tell us about that.
Yeah, no, he's lying right here next to me, actually.
He's telling you to say
it,
Daddy.
I hesitate to utter those words because, but no, I would say, Shadow, do you want to come with? And then we'd, start bouncing around, you know, hurling himself around the house. He'd find his leash, and sometimes he'd manage to leash himself by tossing it up in the air and inserting his head, you know, in between.
Well, that's a German Shepherd. They're smart.
Yeah. And he knows, you know, as you say, he is smart. He knows because he'd been doing this for years. Nothing interesting was going to happen. We weren't going to any dog parks. We weren't going for a run or anything like that. We were just going to drive across Miami, pick up my son and come back, and that was it. But you would think, you know, the greatest thing in his whole life had just happened to him every time I said this. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Why can't I feel like that?
Yeah, this is just pure joy.
Yeah,
pure bliss.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't with big expectations, right?
No, I mean, Shadow is a smart dog and he knows what's coming next. He knows exactly what's coming next. But it's this ability to take, at best, this was marginally positive. He was getting out of the house for a while. He could have a look out of the car windows we drove. Marginally positive. But it's this ability to take pleasure in the, such delight in the marginally positive. That's what interested me. Because it seems that's something we struggle to do. I was struck, this is a sadder sort of example, but I was struck recently, back in April of last year, I was out running with Shadow, and he gave a loud, we were a couple of miles away from home. He gave a loud shriek dropped to the floor, and his back legs were completely paralyzed. The vet thinks it was a spinal embolism, so a bit of cartilage had worked its way into his blood supply to his spine, and the result was he was paralyzed for about 5 minutes or so. And the thing he did when this happened always kind of struck with me, because I think it's again, it speaks to the idea of the marginally positive. And so when he fell, he was lying in the sun. And Miami sun, you know, unpleasant for a dog. So what he did was use his, he wouldn't let me anywhere near him because he was terrified, but he used his front legs to drag himself into the shade, about 20 feet into the shade.
Wow.
And what's the sort of guiding kind of theme? Well, it's okay. This is awful, right? I'm paralyzed. I don't know what's going on, but at least in this minute, I'm marginally better off than I was in the previous minute because I'm out of the sun. I think there's something to that humans can and probably need to learn.
I think so too. Hey, we're chatting with Professor Mark Rollins, and he is at the University of Miami. He's written a number of books. It just came out. It's called The Word of Dog, What Our Canine Companions Can Teach Us About Living a Good Life. Lord, we need our dogs more than ever now. So we're going to dive in a little bit deeper because there's basically four tenets or four points that we might have the good professor identify, but we're going to take that quick break. So sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio. PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is Lily Tomlin, and I invite you to listen to the Old Behave Show with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper, and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to Old Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the Old Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our special guest is Professor Mark Rollins, and he is at the University of Miami. He's written a number of books. The latest is called The Word of Dog. I can just see now everybody getting tattoos now, your inspiration. But Professor Mark, you talked about the fact that there are four tenets, maybe I'm using the wrong word, but you say dogs are natural philosophers. Because, and I want you to explain that, and then we'll go to the other three, if you don't mind.
Yeah, originally Socrates said dogs were natural philosophers, but I think he was just joking. It was a bad pun on Socrates' part, but I think there's something to it, actually.
Yeah, I do too.
And it's not that they let's do a bit of philosophy or anything. It's not like that. It's rather that in the way they live, they can help cure certain philosophical afflictions that have come over us, if you like. Philosophy is a bit like parvo, you know, but whereas parvo affects only dogs, philosophy affects humans. But it is an affliction, I think, and dogs can be the cure if you know how to look.
Well, I took a philosophy course in college at Purdue, and I got a C+. It was my lowest score in my class. But I just remember, I think it was Confucius might have said, to know what you know and to know what you don't know, that is true knowledge. And I just remembered I always needed to start answering my essay questions on test with always a question. But I mean, I think sometimes we don't have to know everything. Dogs don't know everything.
No.
And I just wondered, what would Confucius say about dogs?
Well, the great thing about dogs is that they know things, but they don't know that they know things. And that's because they lack an ability that we have. We're very keen on this ability. We think it makes us great. But in fact, existence is always like swings and roundabouts. There are always benefits and drawbacks to any sort of development. So what I have in mind is the ability, sometimes called reflection, is the ability to think about yourself and to...
You talked about it, and you have a chapter, Mirror, Mirror.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the ability to think about yourself, about what you're doing and why you're doing it. As soon as you do that, your life kind of splits into two. You know, there's the life that you live, but there's the life that you think about, that you scrutinize and evaluate and judge and agonize over. And so we humans, we always have these two lives. Whereas a dog who doesn't do that sort of thing because his powers of reflection are sort of minimal compared to ours, just has this one life. I think that's probably why it loves its life more than we love ours, you know, because it only has this one life to live.
Well, you also said that, you know, studies have shown, limited studies, that, you know, when other certain animals look into a mirror, like maybe a chimpanzee or orangutan, they also recognize their reflection. But dogs are all about the nose, right? So they just see something. Maybe they don't see themselves in the mirror, but they know all about smell.
Yeah, no. One thing I do know from all the dogs I've lived with during my life is that dogs do not care one little bit about how they look in a mirror, you know? And so whenever you're testing an animal for something, the first thing you should think about is motivation. Is an animal motivated to study how it looks in a mirror? Well, dogs are not.
They don't have personal stylists, right?
No,
they're not
to
get beauty products.
Various dogs I've had have happily rolled in cow dung, you know, and they come home. And knowing that, is a dog like that going to care how it looks in the mirror? I suspect not, you know. But the other point that you make is that, yeah, dogs are driven by scent as much as sight. In case of many dogs, more by scent. So there have been very ingenious attempts to come up with sort of olfactory versions of the mirror test. So Mark Beckhoff is a biologist, lives in Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, we've had him on our show.
Oh, you have?
He came
up with what colloquially became known as the yellow snow test. His dog, Jethro, urinates.
Don't eat yellow snow, pet pals.
Yeah, don't do that. So his dog urinates, leaving yellow snow. Mark puts the dog away, then relocates the yellow snow, and then looks at the amount of time his dog spends sniffing his own urine versus the urine of other dogs. And it turns out he spends a lot more time in the urine of other dogs. Does this mean he has a sense of self, that he recognizes urine as his? I think there are other explanations that don't him.
But no, I like that. Another thing you brought up in your book, Word of Dog, is dogs find joy in simplicity. I mean, we can make our life far too complicated. We need to hit the pause button.
Yeah, right.
Pun intended, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's exactly right. And it's another drawback of this capacity for reflection. We become troubled creatures. You know, I have this belief. A dog believes things. Shadow gets out onto the canal and believes there's an iguana close by and then charges. You know, that's a belief. But our beliefs are different because we have beliefs and we start worrying about them, fretting about them. You know, oh, I believe this, but should I? You know, do I have enough evidence to believe it or don't I? What will other people think of me if I believe this? And that's why our lives become complicated, is this baleful capacity for reflection.
Yeah, just don't overcomplicate happiness.
Yeah, precisely.
Now, you also say that dogs find value in the unexamined life. They've got instinct. They got really good instinct. So what do you mean by that?
Well, the examined life is a life where you think about yourself. You wonder and...
Coulda, woulda, shoulda?
Yeah, that sort of thing. You know, oh, I've done that. Could I have done it better? Should I have done something different? You know, a dog is unlike, they say, well, I picked up this stick out on my wall this morning. Should I have picked up that other stick instead? That's not something that the road less traveled with.
Or I got a second place in agility. If I would have gone through those little up and down that ramp, like 2 seconds faster, I would have won.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not doing that, right?
Precisely, yeah. Yeah. So their lives are not examined in that sense. And you know, there's benefits to having an examined life, but there's also drawbacks. And I was interested in the drawbacks.
The last one I wanted to ask about was, you say that love and commitment are the cornerstones of canine philosophy. You know, we've had Socrates a long time. I've even been to Greece a bit, Parthenon, all that. Yay, toga man. But I'm kind of more of a champion of the dogs and their philosophy. What do you mean by that? Love and commitment are the cornerstones of canine philosophy.
Yeah, commitment, as I used it, was basically about the lack of reflection. So you're committed to something, such as a belief, for example, when you don't think about it, you don't worry about it, you just act on it.
Yeah.
When you're committed you have a kind of love, I think, for what you're doing, that the creature who is more troubled, like we are, who worries about its motivations and its actions and whether it could have done things differently, can't can't love its life as much as a creature that's just committed to doing what it's committed to.
So they kind of were the probably inspiration for Just Do It by Nike.
Yeah. I think Nike could have run with that a bit more, you know, a lot more dogs in Nike. Yeah.
We could have made them a lot more money, Professor Mark. I mean, seriously.
Unfortunately, dogs don't wear sneakers, so, you know.
No, they don't. Thank goodness. I'm so glad. So you say, I know it's hard because it's just a show, a brief show, and the book is something I want everybody to read and have their dog by their side and really just listen and reflect. But the word of dog, I really enjoyed it. My dogs are Kona and Emma. They hung out with me. We read the book. They, you know, I think they actually turned the corner on a couple pages they really, really liked. Because I think on page 38, you kind of had a bone to pick with Socrates.
Right, yes.
Because you said that dogs don't do the self-examination with the mirror-mirror test. And Kona and Emma concurred.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
So what's your take-home message for people blessed to have a dog or two in their life, as you have, that made you, you know, you wrote this book, but we live in crazy times now. There's a lot of division politically, socially, whatever. So how can dogs help us? We need them. We need a lassie.
Yeah.
Philosophy.
Dogs will show you all any number of things. And it's all to do, whether you see these things, it's all to do with the willingness to remain open to what they're trying to show you. You know, I mean, it took me long enough. I mean, I've been walking Shadow on the canal for years before it finally twigged, you know, oh yeah, wait a minute.
Yeah. Like.
So, but eventually I got this. So it's remaining open to what your dog is showing you. And when you see kind of delight in even the most marginally beneficial, marginally attractive sort of circumstances.
Like riding with you to pick up your son at school.
Yeah, exactly. Delight in the marginally positive, I think that's something we can definitely learn from them. Because life is overwhelming. It can be overwhelming.
Absolutely. You know. Just curious, as a cat, Professor Mark, what if you could have a rebirth? Would you come back as a human or a dog?
That's a very good question. I don't think there's an answer because I couldn't come back as a dog. It wouldn't be me.
Oh, look at the professor. Yeah, baby, slap.
Yeah, thank you very much.
High five.
It just wouldn't be me. And so what we're imagining here is a case where a dog comes back, but and we think it's me, but it's not really me because I can't be a dog, unfortunately.
Darn it. I was trying to get your movie rights to the next book. I was trying. How do people find out about you and get their paws on your book, The Word of Dog?
Well, the book, that's easy. It's sold wherever books are sold, basically. How do people get in the book? I have no social media. I just don't do it. I'm sorry about that.
Go say hi to him at the University of Miami, guys. Yeah. He's there. Well, I really have enjoyed you being a guest on our show. I hope I try to impress you with my knowledge of philosophers.
You did. You certainly did.
I feel I'm better human because of the dogs and the cats in my life. And I think people, we need to pay a little more attention to them because they can just make us a better human. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I agree completely.
All right. Hey, everybody. I'm so glad we've had Professor Mark Rollins from the University of Miami on our show. Get his book, The Word of Dog. I also want to do a shout out to another Mark. He is Mark Winter. He is the producer of Pet Life Radio. We are the largest pet radio network on the planet. And this show, OBehave, has been on the air since 2007, making us the longest running weekly pet podcast on the planet. That's a lot of peas, Professor Mark, right?
It certainly is, yeah.
Hey, I also have a pretty cool Kicktail e-newsletter. Comes out once a month, Four-Legged Life. Check it out. We got prizes. I want you guys to sign up. We're going to be promoting shows like what we just had with Professor Mark. I also teach pet first aid with my dog and cat all over the world, in person and via Zoom. Check out Pet First Aid for You because you actually will have fun learning. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. Obehave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Obehave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.